Well, hello everyone, it's Friday, January 14th, and thank God it's Friday. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to almost live, or as live as it can be, from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm the Geek Todd from Geek News Central, and everyone, welcome to the show. This week has been a real interesting week for me, and I have a few things to share for you, but as always, we'd like you to call into the voicemail line if you have comments at 619-342-7365, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central, or of course send email to me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. I know a lot of you have started calling me on Skype, and matter of fact, my Skype list has grown now to nearly 200 entries, and I'm having a hard time keeping everyone straight. Especially now that I'm working on my super secret Uber project that I'm not going to tell you about yet. I've been contacting some folks and getting some information. And those of you that are out there that know what that is, know what I'm looking for. So we're just going to keep the rest of you in suspense for a while. But I've had a pretty good week so far with my new job. I've been playing musical desk, though. They're trying to find a place to put me in, and been defining my new role, so that has been good, and I've actually enjoyed that quite a bit. Now, for those of you that are using a podcatcher client that is BitTorrent capable, we're going to try to have a torrent feed available from now on the site, and hopefully you'll see the new link up today for the torrent file, or torrent XML file anyway. So give that a try, and let us know how it worked out. And if it doesn't work, we'll just stop doing it and continue on with standard downloads. The bandwidth, which I thought we were going to be good for a while, is once again, here we are, we're only about the 15th, well, actually not the 15th, today is the 14th, and I'm already concerned about bandwidth for the month, so I guess we'll have to see how it all works out, but thus far I'm pretty happy. Now, I know that I got some comments back on the audio quality from the last show. And I know many of you are happy with it. And actually, I'm at the point now where I have to be real careful. I actually overdrive the audio because we've got enough noise reduction in and everything else that it goes on to the compressor real good and actually comes out sounding nice. But we appreciate those comments back on the sound quality, the investment in that Behringer UltraVoice VX 2000 was well worth its money, and of course the guys at work that got me the microphone, they were much appreciated too. Now I'll probably have a little shorter show tonight, and it's pretty late here in Honolulu, and the weather's been, oh man. You know, I always talk how the weather's wonderful, but it's definitely winter weather for Hawaii is here. It's raining every day, and it's been pretty gloomy the last two or three days. So the rest of you across the United States that were digging themselves out of snow, and everyone out in Europe and the rest of the world, you're going to get a good laugh. But yeah, we got shitty weather here too. But the NASA's been busy this week. The Deep Impact probe launched yesterday, and everything looks like it's a go for that. Now, they did have some problems The probe put itself into safe mode after launch, but all that means that it lowered the bit rate that it talks to mission control at. So what's going to happen there is they basically had something that was heat wise was not was out of limits, and they are going to take a look at that, and they should be able to resolve that soon. But what's going to be kind of cool here in July is this probe is going to get released and launched at a comet, and they're going to basically have a head-on collision at 24,000 miles per hour, and scientists are expecting one heck of a show. Now, if they get to see this show, this thing's going to be like, I don't know how many millions of miles away, but if they're actually going to see this thing this good, you know, it makes me wonder what they do when they turn those things around and look the other way. But anyway, it should be interesting to see how this probe does, and hopefully it goes off successful. In other space news, astronomers are seeing ripples from the Big Bang, and now how they determine this is basically they were able to, a large-scale galaxy structure was made, and it was it's called the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, and it showed big areas of space, which allows these scientists to see space on a huger scale. And I guess they're seeing these ripples that they're calling sound waves, and they've got some pretty cool theories about galaxies that have been formed in between. So pretty cool stuff on the science front. Now, by the time some of you get this podcast, the space probe is going to be impacting Titan. So it's supposed to go down here in about, let's see here, it's 10:38 Hawaiian time. That means it's 2:33:30 Eastern Standard Time. So in about 2 hours, this thing's going to smack Titan, and we're going to, or hopefully land, take some pictures, and we should see by about 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time or 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we should have some pictures back from the surface of Titan and also from the descent. So pretty exciting stuff. So keep your eyes peeled at the NASA sites tomorrow morning because there's going to be a lot of good information coming out. Moving topics here, Dave Weiner over at Scripting News made a pretty good comment a couple of days ago about RSS feeds. And it basically talks about a lot of us that have weblogs have a Yahoo, a Feedster, a Bloglines icon on our website so that people can come in and use those services and can easily subscribe to our feeds. And I could honestly probably, I went around and looked yesterday, and I found 11 more sites where I could actually put little link to buttons on my site to, you know, help people subscribe to the services that they're using. But Dave is saying, why can't we just have one button? You know, why can't these guys get coalitions, get to get, you know, basically Yahoo, Google, all the people that are going to start offering these services, and do some cooperation to have a central subscription service for RSS feeds. And it sure would make it a lot easier and clean up a lot of the websites that are out there. Now, in another, and also Dan Gilmore had commented on that, and he thinks he's Dave's right. So it's curious to see if that gets any positive results. Now, Microsoft is getting ready to expand RSS support. They're going to be putting in, basically, you're going to be able to have search phrases that are RSS feeds. So, in other words, you build your favorite search phrase on Microsoft Network, and it will in turn build you a permanent RSS feed for that search term so that you can basically put that in your browser, and anytime something changes of importance, that it'll show up. Now, hopefully, they've got it so it'll go whatever, you know, if it'll go 50 deep or 20 deep, whatever you want to set it for the search engine, so that you can see when there's major changes. I can see where this is going to allow people that are trying to assure that their website is at the top of the rankings to get an idea where they moved based upon changes they made to their website. Along with that, apparently Microsoft is going to be coming out with an aggregator, RSS aggregator. So I don't know if they're going to. It sounds like they're going to incorporate it into Microsoft Network. So I don't know if you're going to have a Hotmail account or how that's going to pan out. Not a lot of details, but it is forthcoming. Pretty good reliable sources on that from eWeek and several others. And they actually was expecting it Thursday, but nothing yet. So I'll be curious to see how they implement that. And just goes to show that Microsoft's starting to understand RSS. And as some of the other articles that I'm going to talk about today, they're saying that they're making a move on Google, even though so slightly, ever so slightly, has the lead changed. Not lead, but the gap narrowed. Now, at Macworld, they announced this iPod Shuffle. It's $99 for a 256 meg player. It plugs into your USB port and use iTunes to load music up. There's no interface except for play, fast forward, reverse, volume control. That's it. $99. You know, folks, come on. I just don't get it. You know, is this for iPod wannabes? You know, if people have $99 to spend on a MP3 player, you know, let's spend $149 and go out and get a good one like iRiver that actually has some use to it. You can actually record with an iRiver. It has external mic jacks, you know, and you actually have a display. So, I don't know. I guess it's going after the, you know, all these kids want an iPod. My 14-year-old daughter included, she wanted one. And, yeah, I guess we'll see. People are buying them up by the armloads, so I don't know. I don't know what I think it's going to be a short-lived fad. I think Apple's stretching here on this one. Now, I don't normally talk about gaming stuff here on the podcast and the Geek News Central podcast, but I just had to comment on this. There's reports today that Blizzard has pulled the World of Warcraft version from its shelves. And apparently what it was is it was going off the shelves so fast, and the Blizzard wasn't ready for the influx of new people, and they didn't have enough server support on their game servers for head-to-head to handle it. Now, that's the rumor. So basically, they oversold their servers and they couldn't support the strain. So they, you know, that's a first. Who would ever have pulled? Why would they pull a game, you know, off the shelves? I think they would. If it was me and I was the owner of Blizzard, I'd get my corporate credit card out and walk down to the local server shop and buy a buttload of servers and have people work overtime and get them integrated. I don't know. Maybe their system doesn't scale that way. But piss poor planning, you know, is going to cost them there a little bit. Internet Week, as I talked about earlier, said that Yahoo and Microsoft are gaining on Google. And here is some percentages. Percentage of users saying they'd return. Let's see here. Let me read this again. It's not much. A few percentage points. I'll let you go down through. They've got some different scenarios. And Yahoo gains were linked to its local search capabilities. And Microsoft is basically for some of its new services and they and what they've done in improvement to their search engine. Now, we all know that the Federal Communications FCC made a ruling that said that states could not tax voice IP. Basically now when you have a telephone, what happens there is a landline is taxed by your regulatory commissions in each state, and it's a cash cow for them. And if you if you ever read down through your telephone bill, you'll see all those extra taxes. Well, thus far, voice IP services have been exempt from those regulatory taxes, and states are protesting, saying the Federal Communications Commission didn't have a right to do that. So several states, Ohio, California, which already announced, Minnesota, and New York are going to appeal their ruling. So luckily Hawaii hasn't done that yet, but Vonage isn't in Hawaii, so maybe it doesn't matter. But interesting there, you know, and they want their, they want these states to want to get their grimy little paws on your dollars. So if you don't want that to happen, and you live in New York, Ohio, California, or Minnesota, you better get your pen and paper out, or your email, or your faxes, and tell your state senators you don't want it taxed, or it's going to be pushed at you. Now, we've heard of all kinds of crazy stories, but apparently there is a lady out there who is 69 years old, and she has been accused of being an internet black widow. Basically, she's was convicted of killing her first husband, and then her second one died. Now she's accused of drugging a 73-year-old man she met on an online dating service, and scored $20,000 out of this guy. So, come on, guys, let's get tough. You know, you gotta have a little more moral fortitude than to, if you're 73, alone, lonely. I can understand that, but, let's face it, us men, we're so damn weak, just weak, and fall for stuff like this. There's a little bit of fallout in the, from Apple. As you may have read, Apple did some changes to iTunes in the latest release, and what they did there was anyone that buys music from the Apple's iTunes store and loads it on your iPod, that has a DRM restriction in it. It's basically got some DRM, digital rights management data in there. But there's a software project out there called the HIM Project that restores, or basically takes that DRM information off those files so that people can use them on other mobile media devices. Now, personally, I've got an iPod and another mobile media device. And, it depends on what I'm using on one day. I might use the iPod one day or grab the other media device the next, and I'll load it up with, whatever I want that day. So I understand why people are upset that, they're going to iTunes, they're paying money for music that they now legally own, and they want to use it on multiple players, not just on the iPod. So, you can't blame these guys for stripping that DRM information out there. But anyway, the changes that Apple made to iTunes was basically prevented those files from being able to be played and actually removed them. And, of course, people were pissed. So I do like a comment at the near the bottom of this article, and I'm going to quote it. And this is from the Register, and this is what this guy says. Apple, if you continue to pull beep like this, I will stop buying music from you and go back to the CD stores. Once I have the music, it is my right to be able to play it without worry of you keeping iTunes in business. What if McCartney shuts you down? Do I lose the ability to play all the music that I bought? Stop beep with us, he writes on the HIM forum. This is what he wrote on the HIM forum. So the Register basically quoted something off the HIM user group or the HIM forum. But I agree with this guy. I feel that they shouldn't do it. Now, a couple of the articles I saw on, I believe it was Macworld or something like that. There were people in there saying, hey, suck it up, tough. If you don't like it, don't buy stuff from them. But, people like iTunes. You know, I personally have got a ban right now. I'm boycotting buying iTunes because of Apple suing these web bloggers for this supposed secrets of it, you know, corporate secrets that they got their hands on. This just makes me want to continue to go to other services. And I think I will. So you can vote with your wallet, folks. And if anybody else is out there stripping the DRM stuff off, let me know how that's going and what you've done. Now, apparently, there's a lot of bloggers out there that are in the real world or for their real job are journalists. And apparently their web blogs are suffering because they have to be so careful not to infringe on stuff they're writing at work. So I've got a solution for them. They need to follow the lead of like San Jose Mercury News and put up a web blog. Let their journalist blog there. You know, I was very happy when Dan Gilmore was working for them to go over and read his web blog on their website. And that drove me to their newspaper. You know, I live in Hawaii, but I was reading that Silicon Valley magazine or a newspaper. So, you know, that's a solution to it right there. But that's up on Wired. We'll have the link up for you. A lot of news this week about hackers working over the cell phones. And looks like now all these smartphones are at risk. And of course, I don't think there's any. I don't know if there's a virus protection programs built for smartphones yet or not, because I don't have one. But a lot of people worried that mobile phones are going to get taken out by some sort of attached file to an email message or something of that sort. So I guess we're going to see. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. What's going to happen. So if anybody's had problems with their cell phone and getting something unwanted, a Java application or something like that, we sure would like to hear from you. And clicking through here. Oh, a lot of people that are, I know I use eBay from time to time. Matter of fact, the wife has got some stuff stacked up here beside the desk that she wants me to put up on eBay. I ought to just put it up on the website and let you guys get a first go at it. But maybe I'll put that stuff in the link blog. So if you're not visiting the link blog on Geek News Central, keep an eye on that. I don't update it every day, but maybe I'll stick this stuff in here, and then you guys all get a shot at it first. And we'll just do cost of shipping, and I'll put a fair price on it. I just want it out of here. So does she. Now, Google is... Oh, I didn't even talk about the main thing, but Google's raising... Google. I'm sorry, folks. eBay is increasing their fees, and sellers are pretty upset about it. I got an email this morning on it. It was talking about how much the price was going to go up. So, you know, it's the price of doing business, guys. You know, these people are out there doing, have 100 auctions going a day. It's probably going to hurt them. But for guys like me, it's really not going to make that much of a difference. I'm happy to see stuff go on eBay, but these fees are angering sellers, and you know it's cost of business. You know that's what these guys got to do. But you know their stock has remained really high. It's up about $100. I think I wish I would have bought stock when they had their IPO. Now on to the Google news. If anybody wants to loan me one of these things. I sure would like loan me one of these for a couple of years, but Google's going to be selling a server that corporations can buy, and basically you can set this thing on your network, and it will actually do an indexing of your entire network with all your, you know, basically all your whole setup. You know, everyone, I'm running the Google desktop thing on my laptop. And my PCs, but they're all independent. They're not looking at all the hard drives here. So, anybody wants to loan me one of these things, I've got a archive of nearly a half a million shareware files I sure would like to index with this search engine. And It'd be cool. Be cool to do that. Have a box sitting here at the house, but I don't think any of you are willing to spot me $5,000 for this as a loan, or as not as a loan, but as a gift. Would you? But those of you that have companies that have big networks, I'd be looking at this real, real close. And of course, they have a high-end models that cost anywhere from $30,000 to $500,000. So, depending on the size of your business and what you need to index, this might be the way to go. Now, I'm a T-Mobile user. I've had my share of problems with T-Mobile. I think I shared some of those T-Mobile horror stories, some of the first podcasts that we had. And I think I'll just recap for those of you that are new listeners to the show. I went on travel to Texas from Hawaii. My cell phone that I had died on me. I went to the T-Mobile store, got a new phone. And when I got that new phone, the T-Mobile person said I needed to have a new SIM. They didn't want to use my SIM from Hawaii. And make a long story short, that Hawaii T-Mobile customers are a test market. T-Mobile rolls out all new SIM cards here. And the SIM cards in Hawaii are incompatible with... You can use your T-Mobile phone back in the lower 48, but... What happens is if you have a Hawaii account with an 808 telephone number, and you go back to the mainland and you get a SIM that's for a U.S. system, you can call out, but no one can call in. And when they did that switcheroo on me, the employee didn't know that, and I went about a week of pulling my hair out trying to get the old SIM turned on. But now, to make matters, you know, just add more fuel to the fire on my irritation against T-Mobile, and I have to read this on the news. I don't get this information from T-Mobile directly. Apparently, someone had hacked the servers of T-Mobile, gaining access to the personal data of over 16 million of the customers of T-Mobile. Everything, billing, social security numbers, credit card numbers, the whole nine yards. Then this hacker even tried to offer this stuff for sale. And apparently the only reason we haven't heard about this from T-Mobile, now this is a speculation now, is that there was Secret Service accounts that got hijacked, and maybe some people that were witness protection or something like that under Secret Service, and they've kept this out of the news. But it irritates me a little bit to know that someone could have scored my personal information, and this company didn't even have the, you know, wasn't even nice enough to send us a letter saying, hey, we've had a hacker in our system for a year, we're sorry, make sure you watch your credit reports. So, I'm not going to go and say that this guy sold our information, but he offered it up on a chat server, and that's how he ultimately got caught, because the Secret Service was in the chat server also. So irritating. It actually pisses me off. And so on my website, T-Mobile gets Bad Company of the Award a month for not revealing this to the customers first. Gmail, there was a Gmail bug. Google got it closed up right away, but apparently some people were able to read other people's emails, which is not good. And of course, we all know Gmail is still a beta, and anything can happen in a beta. That's why they have a pretty good disclosure on their site about it. So, but at least they got it locked down real quick. Now, on the same type of issue front, there's a security advisory out for Mozilla, all the way up to version, well, it's from Mozilla, all the way up to Mozilla 1.7, and Firefox 0.x and 1.x. So, Firefox is still, they're still working on it, even though there is an official release. So, if you want to upgrade Firefox, you'll have to go to the find a build in their FTP site that is stable. I think I'm going to see if I can find you a link to a good stable Firefox build that fixes this basically the security issue. So, and it it's rated as critical, not critical impact spoofing, and it does spoofing. So, just watch your systems. You know, I think any browser these days is not totally secure. Now, I did have to laugh. I quit quoting New York Times articles. And the reason I quit quoting New York Times articles was because after about 2 weeks, they put the article behind the firewall, which would never be accessible to the public again. And I'll be honest with you, that just doesn't make sense in this day and age. So, that's one of the reasons we quit linking to them. But now the New York Times is thinking about going completely pay and taking all of their information behind the firewall. And you'd have to subscribe. Well, go ahead, New York Times. You know, because what little I read of you now, I won't read you anymore. You know, figure out a different model to pay for your service, be it advertising on the site or something like that. But I'm not going to pay for a newspaper that hides articles that we can't link to. I think that's about it for tonight. I had one last article, but I'm going to skip it. We're 31 minutes into the program, and it's been a wonderful week here for me. I've been staying real, real busy, and as always, I will be back with you again with a fresh podcast Tuesday morning next week. And I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com or Skype me at geeknewscentral. Of course, call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 and leave comments. Otherwise, we're going to leave you. I was going to cue you up some Hawaiian music today that I had approval to play, but I didn't get the CD ripped in time. And we're going to leave you with some atypical rock and roll that I like to listen to. So enjoy, and we'll get that queued up for you right now. Okay, folks, we're going to play you two. First one's, both these are by Geoff Bird, and he's a real popular artist on GarageBand.com. First one is going to be Elusive Butterfly, and the second one is Frozen. Not so heavy rock, but this is a great track, and support this guy. Go to GarageBand.com and buy his music.
Imagination is my friend, because you never give it up in bed. Girl, you're 27 shades of gray, but you appear in Technicolor the next day. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, flutter by. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly. I'm a butterfly. To think I thought that I would capture you. Your complications make it hard to do. You want emancipation, fly away. Fly away, baby. Another girl by Sunday. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, flutter by. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, oh, flutter by. butterfly, flutter by. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, flutter by. Spoken, can I just walk away from being broken? Am I so blinded that I've become the very thing I've always hated? Now I have fallen, where have I landed? Frozen in history, screaming in silence, laughing in misery. Flowers in winter, fast asleep in faded colors underneath the snow. But how far below? How can this be? What have I done? Maybe this time, as I am breathing, the darkness will fall. Yesterday, shadowy figures dancing in moonlight, captured and photographed just after midnight. Is this illusion, or is this the way that it's supposed to be? Oh, tell me. Like a carnival, smells like a circus. I'm getting colder, I am freezing all the images. In other words, I am frozen. How can this be?
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday. And thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And you keep coming on back. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.